The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Welcome to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. Have a live link at thetrumpet.com. I'm Dwight Falk, and I'm filling in today for your regular host, Mr. Stephen Fleury. So I'm very happy for that opportunity. He'll be back in studio tomorrow. I was thinking the Trumpet Daily Radio Show is a very successful program. It's been put together very well by Mr. Fleury and those that help him. And it's kind of like my dad gave me a Ferrari and said, take it around the block once and see how you do with it. So I'm going to try to not drive too fast or put it in the ditch, but have a successful drive around the block on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Lots of stuff to talk about today. Lots of interesting, one main topic. And I think you're really going to hopefully get a lot out of this. I certainly did in putting it together. And it has to do with really the spirit of the age, the spirit of the age that we live in. Now, if you have an email address, you probably are inundated every day with loads and loads of junk mail. Now, we used to get junk mail in our mailboxes. Don't get as much of that anymore. Now we get it in our email inboxes. And the focus of most of those emails is what? Well, they want you to spend money. They want you to buy something, a good or a service. Now, this morning, just I opened my email, and these are literally the first, let's see, four or five emails that I had. And I was just going to read the subject line to you and see if this sounds familiar. 20% off your online order ends today. So this is serious. I've got to pay attention because it's ending today. Another one says up to 80% off site-wide ends tonight. So this one's even more enticing. Another one says it's clearance time. 30% back could be yours. And then finally, this one's my favorite. Extra 60% off? Yes, please. And so this is just a sampling of some of the emails that come in. And I know you have the same experience. You probably got these same emails today also. There's a certain spirit of the age that we live in. And we're going to look at a few Bible passages today that talk about this spirit of the age and some problems that can come from it. And we're talking about financial problems mainly. And we're going to look at some great biblically-based principles to help us overcome the pull of materialism and help us to have our financial houses in good order. And that's what we're going to focus on this edition of the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. The spirit of the age. Now, if you look at Revelation 3 and verse 17, it is talking about the church eras, God's church eras. There's seven eras from Christ when he established God's church, all the way down until his return. And so we're in the Laodicean era today, that last era, which is a terrible era in a sense because of what's happened to God's church. And the book Malachi's message is free at thetrumpet.com. It tells you all about that. You can get that. And if you haven't read it, it's a must read. But it talks about this Laodicean era. Of course, the good news is that Christ is about to return. That's the incredibly good news. But there's problems in this era. There is a particular spirit. It's in the church of God, the Laodicean church, but it's also in the world. Revelation 3 and verse 17 says, "I am because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." And then it goes on to talk about how people in that condition don't realize that actually they're pretty wretched, they're pretty miserable, they're poor, they're blind, they're naked, spiritually speaking. But they're not thinking about it spiritually because they're rich and increased with goods. There's this pull of materialism to have a lot. I mean, we live in a wealthy land. We have listeners around the world, of course, but if you live in the West in particular, I mean, this is one of the wealthiest times of man's history. In general, it is the wealthiest time if you look at the average individual. There's more than there's ever been. And yet, there is this pull towards materialism. And it's a pull away from God, and it's causing problems, lots of problems that we're going to look at. But again, there's also a lot of hope in this as well. So we're going to tackle some of the problems, but then look at solutions. And that's going to be the main focus. But I think, see, when you go out to a bookstore and you look at all the financial help books, and there's just loads of them, there's some great information in them, and they can be very helpful. But the thing that they miss is that they're just looking at the problem on a physical level. Hey, you're spending too much money. Spend less, save more. And those are good principles, and it is something to listen to. But the thing that they're missing is that there's a spirit of this age. There's a broadcast, and there's a spirit out there. And it's this spirit described in Revelation 3 and verse 17, being rich and increased with goods, having a lot of things. And this is in the world as well as in God's Laodicean church. You can look at 2 Timothy 3. If you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out and take a look at some of these passages, or just take note of them and look at them later. But it's important to see what God says about this topic. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Those are the days that we're in. There's plenty of biblical proof of that. We're not getting into that today, but you can study into that. The fact that we are in these last days, there's going to be perilous times, savage times, very difficult times. And then it goes on to describe some of what you'll see in the world and see if this sounds familiar to you. Verse 2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." It continues, verse 3, "without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, or having a lack of control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, and finally, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." So if you look at some of those key statements, again, it's lovers of their own selves, covetous, unthankful, not having control, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There's that spirit. That's the spirit of the age. After all, it says, in the last days, these times are going to come. And a lot of the focus is on this materialism, this covetousness. And so that's something that we have to really think about. That's what the financial books, the help books, are missing, is the spirit of the age. I think on some level they understand that humans tend to want to get a lot of things. I think they understand that. But they're not understanding there's a spirit power that's broadcasting this spirit, this idea, this impulse to get more, to have more, and to take the focus off of God. Mr. Armstrong wrote an article in the 1980s, in the Good News. It was 1980, I think it was the October version or edition. And he's talking about money. And the title of the article is, "Ever Know Why Money is the Root of All Evil?" And so he went on to explain that, of course, it's the love of money, the way of getting, that get way of thinking. That's the root of all evil. And in the article, Mr. Armstrong talked about how sports had become the most important thing in the life for some people. Most important thing in life. And he talked about how that was the pleasure that they were seeking. You know, it could be sports, it could be anything. He just happened to be talking about sports. And so, again, it highlights the spirit of the age, that they were lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That was 1980. You know, where are we today in 2019? It's hard to believe we're in 2019, is it? Time is zipping along. But in the article, he talked about college football and how it had become so corrupt because it began to make a lot of money. And, of course, that's a lot of the college sports today. There's always debates about that. Lots of money being made, and so it became more and more corrupt. People wanted to get more money. And, well, again, the point of the article, really, is that people have this love of pleasure more than love of God. They're just so focused on materialism. That's the spirit of the age. And that comes, as he points out in the article, and it's a fantastic article. Again, it's from the Good News, 1980. I think it's the October edition. And he points out that, look, this spirit, this attitude comes from Satan. And the way of get, of covetousness, it was around long before money was. Okay, money in and of itself isn't a problem. God has no problem with us having money. God's work runs with money. Of course, it's done by the power of God's spirit, but you know there needs to be some money there. And that's the way that it's done today. There's no problem with money. or having money. But the problem is the wrong spirit, the wrong attitude, the get, the materialism. That's the problem. And Mr. Armstrong talked about Isaiah 14 and verse 13. And you can read that. That's long before there was money. There wasn't any money back then. There weren't even people back then. And what did Lucifer say when he rebelled and fought against God? He said he was going to exalt his throne. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Covetousness. He wanted to get. That had nothing to do with money. It had to do with the spirit of coveting. He wanted more. And so that same spirit, that same broadcast is out there today. And that's, you can see it in those emails that I read at the beginning, right? There's this impulse, this hurry up. You've got to do it because it ends today. You've got to buy this because it ends tonight. I mean, this is the time, right? You need extra. You need more. And if you don't take advantage of it right now, the opportunity to be lost. And it's crazy that those emails work. I mean, obviously they do. That's why they send them out. Because we all know that you're going to get another one tomorrow that's going to say the exact same thing. They're just going to maybe reword it a little bit. They're going to try to get us to spend, 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 buy, 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 get more, get more, get more. That's the spirit of the age, the impulse of the age. And of course, we've just come through what is a holiday season for many people here in the United States and the West. And one of the problems with that is, again, the financial issues that people get into. Now, there's more problems than just that. We have a fantastic free book at thetrumpet.com, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which that you need to look at to understand all of the issues with some of these holidays that come along. But we're talking about some of the financial aspects today. There was a trumpet brief sent out. And by the way, if you don't get the trumpet brief, sign up for that at thetrumpet.com. It's free. Comes to your email inbox every day. It doesn't promise you great sales, but it gives you very valuable information. It's one of those emails that's important to get, and it's free. It's at thetrumpet.com. You can just sign up for that, the trumpet brief. Well, this was the December 24th trumpet brief, and the title of it was Before You Celebrate Christmas, Consider This. And this was by Mr. Gerald Fleury. And, of course, the trumpet brief is by various authors throughout the week, but this one happened to be by Mr. Fleury. And he wrote that billions of people worldwide are about to celebrate another Christmas Day. It's the world's favorite holiday. People of all nationalities and ethnic backgrounds celebrate it. And then he says this, yet at the same time, spending sprees and extreme materialism increase drastically at this time of year. We see shoppers trampling one another to grab the last discount item, right? We have seen that, have we not? I mean, every Black Friday, the Drudge Report, their headline is always season's beatings, right? That's their, I guess it's supposed to be a little bit humorous, but the stories aren't humorous. People are literally running each other over to get the new TV or the last pair of shoes or whatever it is. And it's just, again, it's people go crazy with it. And he continues, and he says, with increased debt comes more drunkenness, accidents, divorce, family disruption, and crime than at any other time of the year. These are the alarming fruits of Christmas observance. And so when the materialism takes over, that spirit of materialism, well, what do you get? Very often you get increased debt. And as he says, then there needs to be escapism from the debt, which can be drunkenness or it could be something else, and accidents, divorce, family disruption. You want to break a family apart, start introducing a whole lot of debt, because the problems really become pretty extreme and people become pretty nervous, and then there's infighting and all kinds of issues. And again, there's ways out of this. So this isn't meant to be a downer, but we do have to look at some of the negative facts. The average American over the holiday season spends about $700 on gifts. Of course, some of the commercials, as I think some have brought out, are pretty remarkable. I am amazed when they show these commercials leading up to the holidays, and they want you to go out and buy gifts and such. And people are buying each other, you know, like two new vehicles in these commercials. And you just think, who are these people? Like, who has this kind of money? But somebody does, apparently. Or they're gonna, you know, put it on their credit and pay it off over time. But about $700 is the average. That's what people spend. and that totals more than $465 billion. Now, that's just the holiday season, okay? What happens right after the holiday season? Well, it's the New Year's sales, right? You know full well, if you've been on this earth very long, that there's these quote-unquote sales before the holidays, and then afterwards, then they give you probably the real sales, where they knock everything down, and then everyone wants to buy all that stuff. This is a never-ending cycle. No matter what the holiday is, you can pick any holiday. It can be, you know, a President's Day and there's a sale. It doesn't matter. They just want you to buy things. And it's just this spirit of materialism that's permeating the earth today. So people are going to spend about $700 a piece. Now, some people have cash for it, and that's their prerogative. They want to spend their money, they can. But you know, a lot of people don't have that money. A lot of people don't. So they put it on their credit cards. Credit card debt is at an all-time high in this country, if you've noticed. The average American has a credit card balance of about $6,400, and that's up nearly 3% from last year. Now, in 2008, when we had the financial crisis, which I think we all lived through, people got a little bit nervous, obviously, and started to tighten up a little bit. But we've relaxed since then. You know, what are we, 11 years on from that? So people have relaxed, and they begin to spend more. And a lot of it's been done on credit, and the credit card debt has gone up. Total credit card debt has reached its highest point ever, surpassing $1 trillion. That was in 2017. Or surpassing $1 trillion in 2017. I think it's probably up from that now. And that was a separate report by the Federal Reserve. So credit card debt is on the rise, and it's interesting because the statistics show that for people that have less in terms of actual wealth, the credit card debt is higher. I guess it's not all that surprising, but that's what the numbers show. The amount of credit card debt is even higher in low-income households, and because there's this spirit of materialism. They want to get the new things too, right? They want the new phone or whatever it might be, but they don't have the money for it. But if they can get credit, they'll go that way. The average credit card debt for households with zero or negative net worth is over $10,000. So that's a household with zero or negative net worth. That's a pretty precarious situation to be in. And, you know, we might have some listening that are in that situation. This isn't meant to make you feel bad or to make you quit and be frustrated. There's ways out of it, but we just have to accept the reality that there is a lot of debt, and it is because of the spirit of the age. Again, that's what the financial books don't get back to. They get back to some nuts and bolts, and some of them are really good, and we're going to talk about some in the second half of the program today. But we have to go back to a biblical focus. We have to go back to what God says about it, because there's a spirit of this age, which is rich and increased with goods, covetous, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. If we're going to solve the problems in our own lives in this regard, and help our children and do all those things that we'd like to do, we have to confront the spirit that's behind it. The spirit of materialism. What does the Bible say about debt? What does it say about prosperity, for that matter? What is God's solution to debt? So today, for the rest of the program, we're going to look at this topic, debt, and also prosperous, how to be prosperous, from a Bible-based perspective. And again, that's the difference. That's what you don't see in the books in the bookstore. They have some good points, and some of them are quite good to read. But they don't get back to God's perspective, and they don't identify the spirit of the age. They don't understand it. That impulse to go out and get more and more and more, and ultimately to replace God with things. Materialism, to try to fill up that void that people have. Not with the spirit of God, but with things, items. And first, we do have to understand something that's really, really important, and this is an extremely positive thing. And it is that God does want people to prosper in every way. Now, there is a trend in some religious groups to have what they call a prosperity gospel, where they say, well, you know, you give us some money and, you know, God will bless you and all this. Well, that's the wrong approach, certainly. That's not what we're talking about today. We're not talking about, you know, giving to get something. We're talking about the fact that God wants people to really, really prosper, sincerely and truly. And financially as well. some people think that a religious person has to be impoverished. That there's an idea like that out there as well, which you're not going to see that in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that. There are plenty of examples of righteous men who prospered financially, were quite wealthy. We won't take the time to look at them, but you can think of Abraham. He comes to mind. Now, he was, you know, on the move, but he had a lot of stuff to move. If you read about it, he had quite a bit. And Joseph comes to mind. I mean, God used him to help the entire nation of Egypt prosper. These men were very close to God. God worked with them very closely, and they were very, very blessed. So there's plenty of examples like that. Let's look at a passage over in 3 John, in the epistles of John. This is what God wants for us. 3 John 2 and verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Have you read that before and thought about that? I mean, that's what God wants. That's what he desires. That's what his apostles desired for God's people, that they would prosper and be in health, good health as well. But notice, it's as your soul prospers, as you prosper spiritually. The Apostle John wanted the brethren to be prosperous, to have great health physically, but all of those physical blessings come as they're prospering spiritually. Mr. Fleury wrote in his book, The Last Hour, and again, all the books we're going to mention today, they're free, which is always nice to say when you're talking about finances and saying that things are free. They are free at thetrumpet.com. The book is The Last Hour. Mr. Fleury wrote this, "God wishes above all," and he emphasizes the above all, "that we prosper and be in health as we prosper spiritually. God wants to bless us in these areas." He says, if you want the ultimate prosperity, and who doesn't, right? And the ultimate health, this is your best opportunity to receive these blessings. Give life to this work. Support God's work. He's saying, look, you do that, you're going to be blessed because you're putting God first. And we're going to talk about that a little more as we get into some of the more practical points. But Mr. Fleury mentions that God's people certainly get tested in health and finances. You know, just because somebody's struggling financially with their health, it doesn't mean that they've done something horribly wrong necessarily. It means that they're being tested. That happens. People do get tested in those ways. We all have tests from time to time. You can read Mr. Armstrong's autobiography. He was tested, extremely so, because God was preparing him for greater and greater things. And so we do get tested from time to time, but also we do receive a lot of blessings. And God is going to bless those who put their full heart, their full effort into supporting his work. It's just a biblical principle. And again, I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, who couldn't put a little more effort into supporting God's work, putting God first in their lives? I mean, that's an area we all have to keep growing in. And so that is something that we need to think about. And God does want us to be blessed, and there is a way to be blessed. And of course, that is to put God first. And we'll talk about that a little more towards the end of the program. And so as we look at the issue of debt, keep in mind that God wants us focused on his work and prospering. So we're looking at debt, absolutely, but we're also looking at the path out of it. That's the good news. We're looking at the path out of it and the path to prosperity. Now, Christ brought out this point in Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 33, notice what Christ said. He said, "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Well, you've probably heard that before. That's very common. Well, what things is he talking about? Well, if you back up in Matthew 6, you will see Christ was talking about bread and clothing, physical things. God will provide those as we seek the kingdom first, as we put our hearts in his work. I mean, you can read through that passage. God knows what we need. He made us. He knows we need to wear clothing. He knows we need to eat food. Fairly often, of course, daily for the most part. He knows we need shelter. He knows all those things. And he's a father. He will provide those things. But he wants us to seek him first. Again, what's the spirit of the age that we talked about in the beginning? It's to put everything else first. It doesn't even, there's no even thought about God, really. It's to put those other things first in place of God. Rich and increased with goods, right? covetous, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Well, here is the side of it. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Seek the kingdom of God first. It's the exact opposite. And his righteousness. And his righteousness. You know, that involves keeping some commandments as well. And this is where it gets a little tricky sometimes for people, because keeping commandments is not something that most want to do. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Hostility, even if it's just passive. And so we do have to really, really seek God, and we do need his spirit working with us and in us after baptism to want to keep those commandments, to strive to keep those commandments the way that we should. Notice Revelation 22 and verse 14, just to make this point. This is fascinating to me, too, because it's Christ speaking right at the end of the Bible. And, you know, there's a lot of thought out there in certain religions that Christ did away with the law. Well, what does he say right at the end in Revelation 22 and verse 14? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Do we want to be blessed? Of course we do, obviously. Well, what does it say? Blessed are they that do his commandments. That's what Christ said. That's where the blessings come from, doing God's commandments. And when it comes to the topic of debt and avoiding debt and prospering, well, there's two commandments we can look at that are very vital. And of course, all the commandments apply. But there's two we can really look at. Exodus 20, verse 15, you shall not steal. Exodus 20 and verse 17, you shall not covet. Remember the spirit of the age that we were talking about? Covetousness, right? Breaking of God's law. And now, again, people aren't going to probably go to the store and steal something in most cases, hopefully. But there's a spirit behind it. Getting something that you really can't get right now, legally. And credit, you know, is a way to do that. Now, again, it's not wrong to use credit. You just have to be wise about it. And we'll talk about that more later. But if it's abused, there's a spirit behind it. It causes problems. We have a free book on the Ten Commandments. That's the title of it, The Ten Commandments. And it's at thetrumpet.com as well. It says, Paul warned the young evangelist Timothy, and it quotes 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Talked about that at the beginning. Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Remember those credit card debt figures we talked about earlier? That's a lot of sorrows. That's being pierced through with many sorrows, especially if a person owes on multiple cards. That's a lot of sorrows. All right? Paul is speaking about greed for gain, the book says. This kind of mindset attracts other evils. Greed of gain. It's a spirit. It's an attitude. That's the problem, and that's what we have to think about. God wants us to prosper justly as we prosper spiritually. Stealing and coveting, though, those are actions and attitudes of wanting what isn't rightfully ours. And so we have to really think about that and think about our financial dealings that way. The Ten Commandments book continues and says, we live in a culture that has succumbed to raging materialism, just like we talked about in the beginning. Raging materialism, this inclination is rampant on a national and international scale, particularly in Western nations. Our so-called in or cool way of life focuses on the self-centered idea of getting it all while the getting is good. Remember those emails at the beginning? It ends today. It ends tonight. You have to do this right now. I have to get it while the getting is good. I have to buy it before that other guy gets it. It's 80% off. I would be crazy to not buy this now. Well, that's the impulse. That's the spirit. Marketing experts, the book says, bombard people with high-pressure ads to strive, compete, and lust after as many possessions as your neighbor owns, or more in some cases. Nearly everyone desires to be rich and famous. Most want to live a lavish lifestyle. There is a continual pressure applied to get ahead, which means making more and more money and having more things, and sometimes, of course, getting into more debt. But what a great point that is. There's a pressure. Do you feel that pressure? I certainly feel that pressure at times. And where does that pressure come from? Who's applying that pressure? Well, we could say, well, it's the advertisers or it's the companies that want us to spend. Yeah, it is. But that pressure is coming from Satan. It's the spirit of the age. Rich and increased with goods, materialism. That's the spirit. That's the pressure. And that's the battle that we're facing. That's what the financial books don't point out that you see in the bookstore. And they do have some great points. Again, they certainly do. But you have to get back to the cause. And it's the spirit of the age. That's the cause. Materialism being put in place of God. It's a false god. But again, this isn't meant to be a negative message. There's certainly some negativity we have to talk about. But we do have to face reality, and that's what we're trying to do. Face reality when it comes to debt. The Bible shows us the cause of it, and you probably have read or recall what it says in Proverbs 22 and verse 7. Very basic passage. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And we want to get out of that trap. So if you have some debt, and I don't know anybody that's never had debt in their life. There might be somebody. But most people run into it from time to time. Sometimes, you know, it happens because of an emergency or something like that. Other times it's consumerism, materialism. Whatever the case may be, there's a way out of those things, particularly when we're talking about the materialism and that that desire to have. There's a way out. And, of course, if breaking God's law causes these problems, well, it's not too hard to deduce that keeping God's law is going to fix the problems. One last quote here. It says, it's from the Ten Commandments book again, great book of thetrumpet.com. It says, if not caught in time, covetousness will slow boil us like a frog in a pot. I love that word picture. Covetousness will reduce us to a miserable existence. This sin will cut us off from God and from those who truly love us. We have to be so careful. We can be slow boiled to death by that spirit of covetousness. But look, even if we are in debt, we can get out of it. We can prosper. Remember, that's what God says he wants for us. There are some very practical points to follow. We can prosper. We can do it, and we can do it starting today. We'll talk about those specific points of how we can improve the situation. If we have a little bit of debt we're dealing with, we will cover that right after this short break. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show here on 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Yet few preach about the kingdom of God today, for they have lost all knowledge of what it is. A prominent evangelist once said that the gospel of the kingdom of God is not for us today. Some denominations proclaim a gospel of grace, some what they call a gospel of salvation, most a gospel about Christ, some a social gospel. Some churches claim either that their particular denomination or Christianity as a whole constitutes the kingdom of God. But what does the Bible say? The truth about the kingdom of God is indeed a great mystery to this world. It's also the most glorious good news to those whose minds have been opened to the truth of the Bible. To remove the mystery from your Bible and to understand the truth about the soon coming kingdom of God, request Herbert W. Armstrong's masterful work, Mystery of the Ages. We offer it freely to those who are genuinely interested in understanding the Bible. You don't have to live in the fog of the unknown. You don't have to wonder why you were born or where this world is headed. The great mysteries of life can be made known to you if you choose to know. The choice is yours. Request Herbert W. Armstrong's masterful work, Mystery of the Ages. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm and a live link at thetrumpet.com. I'm Dwight Falk filling in for Mr. Stephen Fleury today. He will be back tomorrow. As you heard there in the promo, you can request literature or send emails, comments, so forth, to td@kpcg.fm. And if you'd like, you can tell him that I did a great job, and he might let me take the Ferrari out again around the block. That was my joke from the beginning. The show, like a fine-tuned Ferrari, you get to drive it occasionally. You don't want to put it in the ditch, so hopefully we won't do that today. In the first half of today's program, we were looking at the main causes for debt. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of the age. And, of course, it's covetousness. It's rich and increased with goods. It is being a lover of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's the spirit that's permeating society. Satan is the author of that spirit. And when you break it down more specifically, you're looking at certain laws being broken. All right? Stealing, covetousness, the 8th and 10th commandments. It's happening, and we're prone to those things. I mean, that's why it's so successful, these marketing campaigns to get more, to have more. They're so successful because we all feel that we want more, that we should get more. I mean, it's easy to begin to think that way and to spend and to spend and to have that impulse. So how do we set about to make some changes? That's what we'd like to do. And we could probably all improve in this. You know, some might need it more than others. But again, there's ways to change and to improve, and that's the point. And we have to remember that, as we talked about earlier from 3 John, God does want us to prosper and to be in health above all things. And so that is what God wants for us. But we have to keep his laws. So what are we going to do? Well, we have two wonderful books. They're free. They're at thetrumpet.com. And one is titled Solve Your Money Troubles. And the other is The Financial Law You Can't Afford to Ignore. Those two books are free. They're at thetrumpet.com. You can request them, have them sent to you, or the PDFs are online. You can get it just about any which way you'd like. And they will help you get some of this together and get things going in the right way. And again, everyone can improve probably somewhat. So let's take a look for the rest of today's program. We have a little bit of time left. Some of the common sense and more importantly, Bible-based steps to get our financial houses in the best shape that we can. And again, we talked about in the beginning, there are a lot of books in the bookstores and so forth that do talk about financial principles. And some of them are, you know, there's good principles there. But the thing they're missing is the spirit of the age and the spirit behind it, the spirit behind the materialism, as well as, of course, following God's spirit, because they just don't have access to that. So they're not looking at it from that perspective, and we have to get back to the root cause of some of these issues. So let's look at a few points. These are practical points that we can use and put them into use in our lives. First one, this is the big one, don't abuse credit. Don't abuse credit. And we all have credit cards probably if we're adults. We have credit scores, and we do need that for operating. Many of us have a mortgage. You know, if you're blessed to have your house paid for, that's tremendous. But a lot of people have mortgages and other things they're working with. And so that can be okay. It's the abuse of the credit that's the problem. It isn't always wrong to borrow. God doesn't forbid borrowing, but it has to be paid back in full. Romans 13, verses 7 through 8. Let's look at that. It just says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. Solve Your Money Troubles, that free book at thetrumpet.com says, but a person should borrow only after wise counsel and proper planning. Before making any financial decision, make sure you have counted the cost, especially when contractually binding yourself to make payments. You have to think about interest. Right? What type of interest is being charged on payments? Things like that. Can you afford it? There's a lot to consider there. So again, it's not that you should never, ever use credit. But again, it's the abuse. Those are the problems. And the great point brought out here is really, really get some wise counsel and proper planning. Because remember, there's a spirit of impulse out there, right? That's broadcast. Do it now. Worry about it later. It'll sort itself out. But you got to get this item. You've got to get this thing right now. Well, in most cases, you don't. You don't have to get it right now. We can take some time and think about it. And, you know, especially if it's a large purchase. But anything. Really stop and think about it and have some proper planning and some wise counsel. I do think that people often avoid counsel and proper planning because I think they kind of know they probably shouldn't. do it and just want to do it anyway. And so that can happen. We can fall into that trap. So we just have to be wise there. Luke 14 and verse 28 says this, "For which of you intending to build the tower sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" Right? How embarrassing would that be? I've actually seen that a few times where somebody starts building something and I don't know what happens. Maybe they go out of business or something, but they don't finish it. So you've got this half-built building sitting there for a while and they try to sell it. And it's pretty embarrassing, right? You didn't finish it. You didn't count the cost or something happened. So this is the overriding principle here. Count the cost. Count the cost on the use of credit and be careful with it. Because, again, a lot of people get into trouble with the abuse of credit. And in some cases, people just shouldn't use it. If it's a problem and it's a big issue, try not to use it, if at all possible. There's a principle in Matthew 5, 29 through 30, where Christ talks about, you know, look, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out, figuratively speaking, and cast it from you. You know, if there's some problem, if you have a problem because you're looking at something, stop looking at it, right? And for us, if we're having a problem controlling credit, stop using it, if we can. And, you know, a lot of cases we probably can, if absolutely necessary. So sometimes it takes a change. Again, that's a change in action. It's a change in thinking. And we just have to be honest with ourselves. And there's been plenty of studies. It's really interesting. Plenty of studies that show it's harder to part with cash than it is to swipe a card. Now, the other side of the coin is, no pun intended there, is that it's getting harder to actually use cash because a lot of places don't even take it anymore. So you have to work with the system, but still, I know this to be true. It's much easier to hand somebody a credit card, or, you know, if you've got an Apple Pay or something like that on your phone, it's a lot easier to just swipe it than to part with that cash that's in your pocket, because you see it going away. And when you just use a credit, you don't have that same reaction to it. So, you know, again, it's something to consider. Another thing that's a major problem potentially is online shopping. I read those emails to you at the beginning about all these ads for everything. It can become a habit. And, you know, it's so interesting to think about. Before we had the internet, I know we're going way back in history here, but before we had the internet, if you wanted to buy something, maybe you had a catalog, I guess you'd have to fill out a form for it and send it away and wait. And, you know, there was a built-in delay. Or you had to go to a store and you had to drive there and then look at the item and then pay the money. And it was a little bit of a production to do it. And so people weren't doing it every single day. Online shopping, I mean, you can shop with the phone that you have, which is in your pocket. You're always walking around with the world's biggest mall in your pocket. Have you ever thought about that? It's the world's biggest mall. Anything you want from anywhere you want with the click of a button, that's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure, especially for younger people, but for any of us. It's hard. It's tempting. We're constantly at the mall if we so choose. And so the temptations are out there, and there's always a sale. There's always a sale. So online shopping can become an issue. It can become a habit, and it can create quite a bit of debt. So something to really consider there. We have to really be careful with credit. And, you know, I have found this to be true, and I think probably a lot of people have. And when we really do put more attention, more effort into our relationship with God, with our prayer life, with our studying, I don't think as much about the material things. I just don't, because my mind's on something else. And so that's something that's very important to do too. We'll talk about that more towards the end, but it's easy to get into a habit and a pattern to where, boy, I'm always thinking about the next thing I'm going to get. But if we start thinking more about God and putting our efforts and our energy into our relationship with Him, the material things don't hold the same sway. I think you'll find that to be true, and you probably have. The second point, just a very practical point to help with our finances, create and stick to a budget. Solve your money troubles, again, free at thetrumpet.com, says this, set yourself the goal now to establish a well-balanced budget. Determine to live according to it and not let anything distract you. Doing so will prevent your tumbling from circumstance to circumstance and will lead you into a financial freedom. That would be good, wouldn't it? Freedom. It will eliminate needless worry and concern. It says, take charge of your financial future. That is what God desires for all of us. You know, take charge. That instead of being buffeted about by circumstance, take charge with your budget. It takes discipline, though, right? And again, the spirit of the age is what? Incontinence, right? No control. we have to battle against that spirit that's out there. And having a budget is a real practical way to do that, and sticking to it. And there's plenty of other examples that you can look at. The book has more specifics on setting up a budget. Our goal isn't to get into that today, but you can do that and look at those specifics at thetrumpet.com. A third point, and we're talking about how to get away from debt and really begin to prosper, is to work hard. That's an obvious one, right? Work hard. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11 says this. You probably have heard this one quite a few times. Go to the ant, you sluggard. So that's we're being called out there pretty specifically. But it says, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. And this is, how long will you slumber? Or how long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. It says, so shall your poverty come as one that travels, and thy want as an armed man. And so, well, if we don't work, we're not going to have much, are we, if anything? We have to work hard, and I think certainly a lot of people do. But it is easy. Sometimes I think of this scripture when my alarm goes off and I just don't feel like getting out of bed. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. But we have to get up and get going, get busy. We have to work hard. And sometimes that means seeking better employment. Sometimes that means advancing at your job if you can. There's nothing wrong with doing more, working harder, doing better. Hard work as a way of life is a lost art in today's society in a lot of cases. And so working hard always pays off. It always does. And we have to be willing to do that. The fourth point is, and this is a big one, is to be content. Again, these are some practical principles to put into place to help us financially. Be content. That helps so much. Philippians, and it's hard to do in this age because the spirit is not that. The spirit is to get more. But God says, look, be content. Philippians 4, verse 11. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so here Paul found himself in a variety of circumstances. And when you study into his life, he was in some rough circumstances. But as he said, he learned to be content in all of them. That's not easy to do, to be content. But it really, really helps us. It helps us. The attitude helps us so much. We don't get emails to our inbox from retailers saying, hey, be content. You probably don't need anything this week. You'd fall out of your chair if you did, right? It doesn't say, hey, be content. You probably don't need anything. But we are having a sale, but you're probably fine. According to your order history, you've been here a few times. You probably have enough. You never get that email. That's not the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age is, it doesn't matter. You get more. You know, you have one thing, but you need another. And if two's good, why not six, right? But God says, look, be content. Be content with what we have. You know, Paul was really seeking the kingdom of God first. And he was content with what God gave him. He had a focus beyond the material world and the materialism of the world. To be content, it means we have to be patient. Be patient. That's a hard thing too, right? Our free book on the Ten Commandments, it says this, the Bible is full of examples of what happens to those people who are not willing to wait for God to give. Have we ever thought of it that way? You know, we want something. Can we wait for God to give it to us? Right? And I'm not talking about, you know, just sitting there and doing nothing. I mean, working and preparing and planning and doing our part. And then when we're in position, letting God, you know, open up the blessing to us. The book continues, the fruits of covetousness are always tragic. And again, that's another great point. Maybe it doesn't happen immediately or the day of the ill-fated purchase, but it does happen eventually. The fruits of covetousness are always tragic. King David's illicit relationship with Bathsheba is a prime example of the destruction caused by disobedience to this vital 10th commandment. And it says on the positive side, the Bible also gives numerous examples of those people who patiently and faithfully waited for God to fulfill his promises. And you can study that in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. But it's a great point about God's law, because the breaking of it has negative results, and I think we tend to think about those a fair bit. But what about the flip side, which is the positive that comes from obeying those laws? We don't want to think about God's laws in a negative way, because there's nothing negative about them. We want to think about all the positive that comes from obeying them and from keeping them. So that's just a great point that's brought out there in the Ten Commandments booklet. And so it's something to really think about. Have patience to wait, to be content. And being content means to also have that patience to wait for God. And that changes our thinking. That's a different spirit than the spirit of the age today, which is, again, this rich increase with goods, this covetousness, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And the fifth point, and again, there's probably more you could go through, but the 5 points today. The fifth point, and the really the most important, is to seek the kingdom first. Seek the kingdom of God first. Exodus 20 and verse 1, God said, it says, and God spoke these words, saying, I am the eternal, your God. And that's everybody, every human on this earth. There's one God, and he's the God of everybody, whether people know that or not. I am the eternal, your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I mean, Israel, physical Israel, was in bondage to Egypt. You know, we can be in bondage to sin. We can be in bondage to debt. Who brought them out? It wasn't a self-help book, even though they have some benefits. God brought them out. God's way brought them out. And that's what we need to do in our lives, too, is look at God's perspective on these things and his law. Verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. That's the command. No gods before God. Put God first. This is the first commandment. And if we find ourselves in a cycle of debt, especially consumer debt, which is where a lot of it comes from, chances are that we are breaking the first commandment. We have probably put materialism of some kind ahead of God. And that's what we have to honestly look at. Are we putting materialism ahead of God? It's not God's will that we have a lot of debt. You know, there again, it's not wrong to have used credit for certain things. But again, we're looking at the spirit of this here. And if we find ourselves in a lot of consumer debt and in buying things that we don't need or have too many of, or whatever the case might be, or we just can't get it this time, we have to really think about that. Are we putting materialism of some kind ahead of God? That's the spirit of the age. We have to have patience to wait on God and really, really look at God's will in the details of whatever our particular situation is. The point of looking at God's word isn't just to stop and feel bad about mistakes we've made. Okay, that's not the point. That would be human sorrow. The point is to say, okay, if I made a mistake here, and we all probably have, I certainly have, make a change and positively move forward. Put God's laws into practice and to see it really bless your life. God will bless us. He wants us to prosper, right? He wants us to be in good health as our soul prospers. He wants us to change and positively move forward and just don't make those mistakes anymore, right? I know, easier said than done. It takes time. It takes effort. But still, God is there to help us. Like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. That's where the help comes from. One last passage today, just in Proverbs 23 and verse 23. If you like to buy things, and I do, if you like to buy things, Here's something to consider. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. It says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth. If we want to put our money into something, we should put it into the truth. Now, you don't have to buy anything of the trumpet. It's all free. But it's free because supporters of God's work have put their money there to help it, to help the work move forward, to grow. And that truth now can be given to other people. Truth that's really going to help people. Truth that's really going to change people's lives. And so, you know, what do we think about when we think about money? We think about all the materialism, all the things we can buy. Do we think about supporting God's work? I mean, obviously, we need, you know, have our needs met and so forth. But what about supporting God's work? That's really, really something that will help us and help our thinking and our attitudes as well. It helps our attitudes. God, as you've heard multiple times, many times, he doesn't need anybody's money. God made everything. He made the earth. He made gold, whatever you know, whatever value you want to talk about. He made it. But he's trying to get us to learn to be like him and to give like he gives and not, again, take. The spirit of the age is for people to be covetous, to be unthankful, to want more, to be rich and increased with goods. So the challenge for us is to go the opposite way and to seek the kingdom first, to learn how to give as opposed to get. Those two free books at thetrumpet.com, How to Solve Your Money Troubles and The Financial Law You Can't Afford to Ignore. They're free, along with the Ten Commandments book. They're great, great, great information in there. Plenty to look at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time that we have for today on this edition of the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me. Your regular host, Stephen Fleury, shall be back tomorrow. And if you'd like to send any emails, you can send those in to td@kpcg.fm. Thanks for spending some time with me today. We'll talk to you later.